Welcome back to Al Mashriq on Radio Islam International. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. My name is Junaid Jasad. It's Thursday morning, inshallah Aziz, in our program. Today we'll be speaking to our esteemed guest, Brother Idris Khamis, after a long break since the end of November. And we've had this whole of December off. Now we will be returning with our interesting program on social issues, listening to Idris Khamis's advice and guidance and motivation, inshallah Aziz, taking tips from there on how to improve our lives, how to improve ourselves, and how to become better people, inshallah Aziz. That's going to be coming up. Stay tuned to Al Mashriq on Radio Islam International. Welcome back to Al Mashriq on Radio Islam International. It is Thursday morning, and as I said, we're going to be speaking to our guest, Brother Idris Khamis, whom we've missed for so long. And we welcome Idris Bhai back onto the program. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. How are you, my most beloved Maulana Sheikh? I miss you so much also. Did you miss me?
Oh yes, tremendously, Idris Bhai. Every day my heart was longing and thinking about you.
So nice. This is true love. This is true love. It's not infatuation. Alhamdulillah. May Allah keep the mahabba. Inshallah, let us pray that we all meet in Jannah, inshallah.
Inshallah, Al-Aziz. Most definitely we are making that dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He unites us all in Jannah, even though we may be distance apart now, but we will be back together, inshallah, Aziz.
Inshallah.
Aziz Bhai, how was your break? How was your free time?
No, alhamdulillah, it was pretty relaxing. I had lots of visitors, and so I took it a bit easy, but I was still busy counseling, trying to help people.
Mm-hmm.
Alhamdulillah. So, but we are thankful to Allah that we still got our health, inshallah, that we can do good. And I think what is important, that inshallah we must always say ownership of our lives. And because, as I said, you know, I find too many people have a victim mentality, and they are spectators in their life. They've got to take ownership of their life, live with intentionality, consciously, every day, getting up with a purpose, deciding to do some good. And that is important, that you've got to continue to do that, and you find that it makes a difference. I'll just give you an example.
Mm-hmm.
The other day, there was my 1985 matric reunion. These are students that I taught many years ago, and I wasn't sure should I go or not, but they wanted me to say a few words. Anyway, I went for the program, and naturally, you know, I was there for a reasonable amount of time, and then I said, no, I think I need to leave. And it was so gratifying that 30 years ago, 31, 32 years ago, that you taught children, and they have such fond memories of you. And so then you feel, you know, alhamdulillah, with Allah's grace and mercy, that you're able to impact on people, make a difference to people's lives, and people remember you. And I think this is the point. The point is that, you know, you can either stay at home, do not interact with anyone, no one knows you except your family, and that is if you are having a conversation with them. Then you cannot impact on people. It's part of who we are. That I think, and it worries me, especially our young boys and girls, are very reluctant to go for social functions because they're consumed by the media. And even if they go to social functions, they are so preoccupied with it. And this will become really a very dangerous phenomenon. And they're very concerned. That's one point. The second point I want to make, and inshallah, I want to implore all the listeners, everyone listening to the program, including our good self, that if they learn anything in our program that is of benefit, they've got to implement it, because, you know, in Islam, the true knowledge is that knowledge that transforms, that changes you. Otherwise, it's merely information. And the brother was saying that he, you know, he's there at this hotel, and the holidaymakers there. And he greets this person every morning. That guy doesn't even greet him back. So I thought, you know, we thought maybe that guy is hard of hearing. And this is the whole point, you know, we are told to spread salam. You must start greeting each other, whether you know the person or not. You got to greet. That is natural. You know that when you are in the plane, somewhere in the plane, it is natural to say hello to the person, Muslim or non-Muslim. That's a very, very critical point, right? That I want to encourage the greeting. And because many people grow up in homes, the greeting is not something that is a habit, that so they do not understand the meaning of greeting. The third thing I will just mention very quickly, and it's not necessarily the, our program, the whole issue about the racist comment this lady made. And this is, again, people need to understand that we are living in this country, and the relationships at the moment are very, very fragile. And we've got to be, as Muslims, we've got to make sure that we do not say anything demeaning towards any human being, no matter what the color of the skin is. And we must not adopt a condescending attitude, because it is these kinds of situations that can become untenable, and it could create a situation that would be a point of no return. So as parents, we've got to make sure that we teach our children to treat people, even people that help us at home or anywhere else, in the person sweeping the street, all of us have got dignity. And we have been the products of apartheid, and I'm encouraging all the Muslims that to make sure any non-Muslim listening to the program, that you must never ever say anything demeaning to any individual. They say people might forget what you told them, but they'll never forget how you made them feel.
Mm-hmm. Very important point that you raise there.
And the last point, and one of the last point I want to make, I was very sad to learn, you must have read about the suicide, right, in a particular town, where this young girl committed suicide. She was in love with a boy, and Allah knows best whether the boy then embraced Islam or not. And she committed suicide, and he followed suit, you know. And I want to tell parents this, that you've got to get actively involved. I'm not blaming those parents. I'm not yet. My heart goes out to those parents, and I'm sure they are loving parents. May Allah make it easy for them. And Allah make it easy for the families affected. So this is a non-judgmental call, so I don't want anyone to point fingers at me, because none of us is perfect. I think for me, the critical thing is this: we as parents, we need to get to know our children. In fact, nowadays, gone are the days when young boys and young girls are asking the parents for blessings in the choice, you know. They just demand that they want to do whatever they need to do. And I think it's important that long before that happens, long before they are emotionally entangled, that they do, share, with the parents, can share with them, and they start having a conversation, you know, regarding this, inshallah.
Yes, very important and pertinent points that we have brought our attention to. It is by in the... We look at...
Could I make one more point, Maulana?
Yes, definitely.
I'm in a role here, right?
Okay.
The other point is this: this is a time where people, the metric results are out, and the metric results are out. In some homes, there is excitement. Some homes, there is some sadness. But I want people to look at the metric results in circumspection, because one of the points that I make, the metric results, no matter how well you have done, and alhamdulillah, it is not a precursor for real success. So we must not judge our kids by the performances, neither do we compare them. And I think it's very sad if parents are not actively involved in the children's academic life, and suddenly now when the results are out, they either respond with shock or with anger. But the question is, you've got to constantly be engaged in the life of your children. And to those individuals and schools that have done well, Mubarak to them, Alhamdulillah. But I still say the epidemic is only one part, an important part, but it's not the only part of education.
Mm-hmm. Yes, this point of matric results, this is what was trending yesterday and throughout the night as well. And you know, the radio station, Alhamdulillah Radio Islam International, interviewed a number of school principals and learners as well who had done well in their matrics, in their matric year, and did got good achievements, distinctions, etc. Alhamdulillah, here in Ermelo as well, we had a number of Muslim girls who were in matric this year, and a Muslim boy as well, and they achieved excellent results in our local high school year, with one girl getting being chosen as one of the top 10 in Mpumalanga, another girl having with 7 distinctions, another girl also getting 7 distinctions, the third girl getting 8 distinctions, the fourth one 7 distinctions, the fifth one 3 distinctions. So Alhamdulillah, this class of 2015 matrix in Ermelo did quite well, and like that we are seeing many Muslims doing very, very well. There's a young boy that we heard about in Lichtenberg who've got 7 distinctions and is out in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for 4 months. And this one young girl here who's completed her matric with 7 distinctions, her intention is to study the Quran and to further her studies of deen for a year, inshallah.
Alhamdulillah. No, Allah guide them. And I think the bottom line is that no matter what education you pursue, if that education takes you away from Allah, then no matter how beneficial it is for the dunya, it is useless. And I think it's important that we pursue things that will guide us, give us strength, that we could be of benefit to Ummah and humanity at large. And also, it was with sadness that I learned a few days ago, Aisha Goga, who was the school's kind of helping the school collect fees and whatnot, she passed away. She was at Al-Falah. She was there from the inception of the Amelia school, you know. May Allah grant her high status in Jannah. I heard my friend this morning, Bal Musa, Brother Ismet, your mother passed away. So all these people who passed away, may Allah grant them the high status in Jannah. And those that are unwell, may Allah give them shifa, inshallah. And those of you who have got parents, remember, the whole of humanity can never take the place. So be with them, participate with them. And once again, congratulations, Mubarak to those kids, the young boys and girls who have done well. Alhamdulillah. And those who did too well, do not give up, because remember, this is the bend in the road and not the end in the road.
Mm-hmm. Yes, this is a bend in the road and in the road of life, and you're going to be experiencing much more challenges and many more milestones as well. That's the important part to recognize, and important part of matric. It is by there's a lot. Obviously, it's a hinge in life, and there's a lot that depends on the matric results. But obviously, it's like you said, it's not the be all and end all. It is just a part of your greater journey, and you have to continue working. You have to continue improving yourself.
Absolutely. And that's fundamental, you know. Whilst we do not want to be dismissive about the matric results, there are lots of stresses involved, and teachers understandably put stress on the students. Parents themselves go through stress because they participate vicariously to the lives of the children. But that's a beginning, and you find that the I recall when I finished my matric, and I went to the university, and we had to do so many textbooks and whatnot, English books for English one, and the lecturer on the first day spent almost a whole period only analyzing the first page of a book. I said, wow, look at the detail. And then the next week, his letters now turned to page 400 and something, whatever. In 2 days, he finished the whole book. And suddenly I realized that what we have done in metric turns into insignificance compared to what goes on at university. But it's part of life. It's part of who we are. And this is how we grow, and you know, and we continue to grow that way, inshallah.
And in respect to those matriculants who had who have done well and who are looking forward to years of studying or looking forward to perhaps improving themselves in some way or the other, what advice would you have for them before we go on to advice for those who perhaps had not done as well as they had expected?
You see, remember this. I think what's important that people need to understand, there's a huge gap between university life and school life. University is an atmosphere of complete and utter freedom. So you yourself, no one is there. The lecturers are not going to be there to motivate you. You've got to be self-motivated. You've got to manage your time effectively. You've got to make sure, no matter how compelling it is, don't be like us. Do not bunk your lectures. Get to know your lecturers. In fact, they love it if you do that. Sit in front when you can be visible. Ask questions. Choose the right kind of friends. Then join, the MSAs, whatever involved in doing good work. Attach yourself to the musalla. Read your salah. And also, what you need to do is every weekend make sure you consolidate all the notes that you have made. And do not panic. And get to know, choose good friends. And get to know those students that have already passed that particular subject that you are doing now. Get advice from advice from them. There are moments you'll feel low. That's part of which, what it's all about. But an important critical thing is this, that if you pass in your first year, inshallah, the rest will be easy. And because lots of people don't pass because the lack of adjustment to the university, they cannot handle the freedom, sometimes wrong company, sometimes wrong subject choices, you know.
So that is the important thing and advice for them. And then those who want to pursue studies in the Islamic line, going on to doing alim course, alima course, hifz, etc., what advice can we give them?
It's one of the things that I must say, that, you know, when you're becoming an alim, it's very, very important that you also develop a love for reading. You've got to be passionate about reading. Besides the prescribed texts that you have, you also need to show initiative and read other books, even though they may be books related to your particular subject discipline. It's very, very important because the critical thing is this, that you've got to be receptive to new ideas. You've got, your mind has to be open. It must not be narrow and closed. And also develop the art of public speaking. And in the end, it's not so much of how much of knowledge you have, it's how you transfer this knowledge. Do you understand the methodology of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? And those that are being healed, may Allah bless them also. And it's about practicing on it, because the aim of the Quran was not only to learn the chapters by heart, is to practice upon it. And so these are fundamental things, inshallah.
Inshallah, Aziz. And okay, so that's as far as matrics go. Inshallah, Aziz, we have a number of other topics that you wanted to speak about, Idris. But what we're going to do is we'll welcome the listeners to WhatsApp or send us a message or anything else that you would like to mention on the program, particularly with regards to matrics or with regards to any of the other topics that Idris Khamisa mentioned. And inshallah, we will discuss it on air. And alhamdulillah, we have a Twitter message as well from Binti Qasim, who quoted one of what you mentioned, see the bend in the road, not the end, and hashtag matriculants, which is Jazakumullah Khairan for that tweet. And you can tweet us on @Zunjas, @ZUNJAS, and inshallah, Aziz, we will pass it on. Stay tuned to Al Mashriq on Radio Islam International. We'll be back after this break. Welcome back to Al Mashriq on Radio Islam International, and welcome back to Brother Idris Khamisa. Idris Bhai, we spoke about matriculants. One of the points that you raised right in the starting was the issue of racism, and we've had a blow up of racist comments coming up on social media, and then the resultant backlash thereof, and it's become a huge issue in South Africa, the ANC calling to criminalize it, the DA, the EFF agreeing with the ANC for once on this one issue of criminalizing racism, and it brings us to a point where we have to start introspecting as well.
No, absolutely. I think, you know, when you look at the life of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, his relationships with people, no matter what background they came from, and even look at the last sermon of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, it's a very, very important thing and a very critical thing. It's about relationships. And I think it's very, very important for us. You know, it's a wake-up call for many people that we make sure that the people that we work with, you know, if they come from another background or whatever it is, you speak to them with dignity, your with respect, because no one is your slave, number one. And secondly, you never say anything that is dehumanizing. You know, all of us have dignity, and we got to show that respect. And this is the way, you know, how wonderful it would have been if the people in South Africa would have said, you know, this statement was made by a particular individual, and he says that we are so glad that there are Muslims in this country who never, ever speak to us like this. And I think this is an important thing, because all of us are ambassadors for Islam. You're either bringing people closer to Islam, or people are moving further and further away from Islam. So this issue here, and also for me, there's another very important lesson to be learned, that we, all of us, are so caught up with social media. We are posting things there. The moment you post a message, my friend, you have left a digital footprint, and this thing can go viral. So one must make sure that if you have any personal sentiments, you got to make sure you keep it to yourself. You keep it to yourself. And unless you're having a discussion in an academic group about a critical issue, there's another matter. I think it's, you know, okay, the thing is, I'm not condemning that lady. Okay, perhaps she made a big mistake. And what is also important that, you know, how we respond to this, this, inshallah, should be a window of opportunity. And and I hope parents are talking to the children about it. They know about it, and they can understand that this thing can be viral, and it can have a profound, profound impact on our society.
It is when it comes to racism, this was in particular reference, the comment that she made was in particular reference to the Durban beachfront. Now, you know, if we introspect and we look at ourselves, there's been, perhaps not on social media, not on a public platform, but many people feel that why should there be so many people on the Durban beachfront? Or if we see a particular beach or a particular area, then we would avoid it because because of the crowd that is frequenting that place. Does that also amount to racism?
Yes, you know, it's about how you say whatever you say. Because remember, we are very sensitive. We have come from a very, very painful past. In fact, you know, when I drive past there, I tell my wife, and alhamdulillah, she concurs with me, and she's right here to be a witness to the statement. She can grab the phone and say, no, I'm lying. I say to her, you know, I'm so happy, at least, you know, the lots of people who never enjoyed the beach, at least they can come here. For them, it's like, you know, Jannah, you know, compared to what they've been through. And I recall in the early days of apartheid, when we used to go past, we used to look as if, you know, we used to peek and look at inverted commas, and I'm not condemning anyone per se, but the whites are really having a great time, and we were little boys, and we had no idea what was this all about, and we felt it was something acceptable, it was a norm. So I think that's very, very important, you know, to understand. So one has to be very, very guarded, you know, what you say, especially with the sensitivity around it anyway.
Yes, and it is by looking at racism within ourselves as a community, there is a certain degree of feeling superior or of superiority. How do we get rid of this racism? How do we clear this racism from our minds?
I think I would recommend that we do five things. Five things you need to do, right? The one thing is that what we do is, firstly, we need to understand the prophetic legacy. We need to understand how we are judged by Allah. We are judged by the purity of our heart. We are not judged by the externals. We are not judged by the color of the skin. And we are all Allah's creation. So I think that's a very important thing. The second important thing is this, that as parents, we've got to make sure that we do not speak in a condescending way towards anyone at all. It's unacceptable. It's unacceptable. That's number two. And number three also, I think, is, you know, when we, for example, the people that work for us, and it's about our treatment of them, how we pay them, and how we speak to them, that to me is fundamental. The fourth thing that I feel from our members, we need to speak about it loudly and clearly. And also, for example, you know, it comes to the other thing is how we treat our muazzins, how much we pay them. And that's another thing. And the last point is that this must become a critical part in the curriculum of the madrasa and the schools, because our curriculum also needs to be contextualized. We are living in the South Africa, and I'm not saying that you change Islam. Islam is pure. But Islam is relevant for all times and all situations. And it's about how we are able to look at the teaching of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and the Quranic injunctions and apply it in a meaningful way to our lives. And I think it's important. And you find that when, for example, when teachers and mualims and mualima and whatever, and children look at you and they look at the way you treat you know, people working at that. So these five things that I would recommend very, very strongly, it has to be done. I think subsumed in all of this is the idea that as parents, you must start having conversations. We need to have discussions. I mean, our parents spoke to us about real issues, you know, that affected us in our experiential world, affected us in the things that we do, and that, you know, and the whole range of things. We must start having the discussion. We need to have a round table and discuss this, discuss what's in the paper, and we cannot appear to be insular and isolationist, you know.
That's a very important point that you raised there, that we must not be isolated from the rest of society. We have to start learning to integrate better in society. Perhaps for whatever reason we may have distanced ourselves, but we need to integrate into society and become part of the greater community.
Yes, and we mustn't create our own ghettos, as it were. I mean, the thing is, you know, when the Sahaba, when they left, you know, Medina, they went throughout the world and they integrated with the community. And they became part of the community. And they embraced them in the widest sense. And we must start doing that. I think it's pivotal, it's fundamental, and to me it's an imperative. And what you've got to understand, you see, we cannot wait for others to give us a message. And I think as the Amir of the home, you need to take responsibility. A responsibility for your life, a responsibility for the life of your children, and we need to talk about this. So it's very important. And can you imagine your reward? Say, Ya Allah, Ya Allah, I want, you know, as our Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was a mercy unto all mankind, Ya Allah, I want to also manifest some of that, inshallah, to the people that I interact with, to my family and my community. And I think that is fundamental. We need to do that, you know.
That's important points there. It is why we need to take a break again, and we will be back just after that. Stay tuned to Al Mashriq on Radio Islam International. Welcome back to Al Mashriq on Radio Islam International. Welcome back to Brother Idris Khabisa. Idris Bhai, one of the points that you spoke about was greeting each other and learning to greet each other, even if you're out on holiday, even if you are anywhere out and you're not in your normal environment. Now, this boils down to recognition of who we are and identity. And sometimes it's due to a case of not wanting to identify yourself as a Muslim, maybe, or not wanting to identify yourself with others, and that's why you avoid greeting. It is by, are you there?
Now, yeah, I'm here, G. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yeah, that's a point. The point is, it smacks of a lack of social etiquette. I mean, this is it. A greeting, we're supposed to spread greetings, and it is natural to greet even a stranger. And we don't do that, you know. We have lost the art of conversation, and no conversation cannot start, you know, except with a greeting, a loving greeting. Assalamu alaikum, my beloved brother. And say it with a lot of verb, right? You know, don't say assalamu alaikum, right? Or just, you know, if someone greets you also, and you walk around as if you're constipated, you know. Really, this kind of condescension, constipation. And you really, and I tell people, you must keep on greeting people, whether they greet you or not. You have done it. You have greeted them. It's your responsibility. And therefore, you find that our young boys and girls today, they do not have friends. They do not know how to greet, to interact socially. You know what I'm saying? So this is fundamental. We need to start doing that. We need to encourage it. And you can start off first with the husband greeting his wife. Assalamu alaikum, my darling. My curvaceous damsel. My shush babalina, my blue eyed, my jalebi, my barfi, whatever. You know, greet her with love, with affection, you know. And this is it, you know, we have lost that. And we must start doing that. And therefore, because one of the things is this, that forget about greeting, we do not even have a conversation with people. So we must learn to greet.
Okay. And greeting others is also... you know, a means of lifting your own spirits. When you smile and greet others and they reply to you, it's a means of, you know, improving the environment where you are in.
Absolutely. You know what? You feel uplifted, man. You know, you really feel, you feel wonderful. I mean, someone tells you, Assalamu alaikum, my beloved brother Idris. How are you this morning? I said, man, I wasn't feeling too good. Now that I hear your mellifluous voice, see your smiling face, I feel so excited. I feel so good, brother. I like it. And we need to be energized. I mean, you know, and this is something that worries me about people. I don't know why they don't greet, you know.
Mm-hmm. Maybe there's something that they are hiding or something that they are just feeling bad about.
No, those who don't greet, they are their own worst enemies, let me tell you. They don't even like themselves, you know, and yet, you're told, you look at the mirror, you say, Ya Allah, you made me beautiful outside, also make me beautiful inside. So this greeting, we cannot overemphasize. We must greet. And I want people today, when they go to the Fazor Salah or anywhere else, and just start greeting people. You know, like Cape Town has a particular ritual they do, is after Salah, they shake hands with the person next to them, you know. They shake hands, you know, and this is what they do. And... So I think it's important that you greet. And I know there are some people who are so, you know, energized when they greet. Hey, you really feel uplifted. You know what I'm saying?
Yes, 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 yes. And we need to learn that. It is another point that you mentioned about was the social media and how we are so involved with social media that we forget others. And, you know, one interesting thing that I've read over the holidays is that people are so involved and well communicated and in good contact with the rest of the world that they have lost that touch and that communication with those in the immediate surroundings.
Absolutely, absolutely. You know, and also, you know, I concur with someone's observation who says social media is about self-glorification, you know. It's about, you know, me, myself, I look at me, doll, I'm looking beautiful today, look at me, you know what I'm saying to you? And I was taking a job this morning, Maulana. I want to make a comeback and, you know, nostalgic when I was slim. My wife always tells me she didn't marry the extra weight, you know, so I'm feeling a bit neglected now. So I'm doing a bit of jogging. And I was going past this one lady, and the way she was doing a selfie, you know, and she was really sorting her hair out and whatnot. And she'd probably take a picture and send 100 other pictures on the same day and giving the best picture, as it were. So I think this is something that we need to understand, that it's self-glorification, and only if you do real good, then alhamdulillah, you know.
Mm-hmm. You don't want to make yourself seem more than what you actually are. And speaking about the suicide of that young girl, I've read it on social media as well. Our thoughts go out to the family. May Allah Ta'ala make it easy for them. It is not an easy thing to deal with. And a person really has to be in great despair to get that type of thoughts.
Yes, you know what? This has been a very difficult time for the parents, a very, very difficult time, and it's important. Sorry, I'm just filling the book over here. 112. We are filling Kamisa. Yeah, so, you know, it's very sad. I tried to read a bit about it, and the point that you make is a very relevant point, you know, and what it does basically, those parents who feel guilty for the rest of their life, and I'm not here apportioning any blame to them, and it's an indication that, you know, it's very, very important that, you know, we are there for our children throughout their lives, and they're going through any anxiety for whatever reason, they share it with you as parents, because revealing is healing. And I also say to parents, you know, you might despise the action, but never give up on them, you know.
Yes. Irizbai, Jazakumullah Khairan for your time this morning, inshallah, Aziz. We will speak to you next week.
Inshallah. Maulana, so good to reconnect with you. You go well. Allah bless you, look after and protect you.
Amen.
And you continue greeting me in an energized way, you know, you know what I mean?
Inshallah, inshallah.
When you go to Amalo, you must just greet the people. Assalamu alaikum, this is Sheikh Junaid Jassar saying hello. Assalamu alaikum.
Jazakallah, wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Shukran to Idris Khamisa. Shukran to you for listening this morning. Inshallah, Aziz, we will be back with you perhaps on Saturday morning with our marriage program. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.